to the private markets update from ACEC, the American Council of Engineering Companies. Very pleased to be joined by Aaron McLaughlin, again, our private markets guru. And again, our show, the private markets update, is a regular kind of update on what is happening in the private markets and the economy in general. Aaron, welcome back to the show. What's going on aside from long lines at gas stations?
I know, it's really, really crazy. Well, besides long lines at gas stations, if anyone is looking to move, you know, now is probably the time to sell your house, but I don't know if it's a good time to buy a house. So starting with what is still the hottest private market over the last probably 10 months or so, we have the construction put in place numbers for March, which came out earlier this month in May. And residential is at a peak, 23.3% growth year over year.
Yeah, so that's putting it mildly.
Yeah, I mean, obviously March of 2020 was a rough month. So I'm not surprised that it's up, but 23.3% is just really, really huge. And, you know, we had our annual convention just a couple of weeks back. And during our Land Development Coalition roundtable, this was the hottest topic, of course. And, you know, are we entering, you know, folks use the word bubble, you know, which can be kind of scary because bubbles pop. So are we entering a bubble, or is this, you know, or is this just growth because of demographics and interest rates and people needing more space because we're in a pandemic? So I think we are going to continue just watching that very, very closely.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, my wife is a serial Zillow watcher, yes. Right? So she'll sit and she'll watch the neighborhood, and she is the first to notice when a house goes on the market, what it lists and what it actually goes for. And the numbers have steadily increased over time, which is great. I love it. Right. I love getting the numbers, right? But at the same time, there's this fear that I have that it's like, are we on the cusp of a bubble? Is this, at what point do we reach
right.
saturation and this pops?
Yeah.
Or is this the new normal? Is this now the push out from the pandemic? We are now seeing this,
right.
you know, continued investment in residential housing. And this is this sustainable?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anybody has an answer to that.
No, I don't think so. It doesn't seem that in the larger business and economic press, the idea of a housing bubble is not getting a lot of traction. And I think that's because we've had a bit of a housing shortage. Now, granted, that's a shortage of affordable housing, you know, so, and that is quote unquote infrastructure, you know, that is being discussed on as you know, our current administration expands the idea of infrastructure. So I think the hotness of the market will continue as long as we have low interest rates. It's my Aaron's opinion. However, you know, we're going to have to address sort of the housing affordability issues. And, you know, one thing that's really interesting to note, which I'm writing about in our summer issue of Engineering Inc., the private side column, is different kinds of economic metrics. And one metric that that folks are looking at is the U-Haul index. So this is the index that they put out once a year that shows where people picked up their trucks and basically where they dropped them off. And it is very striking to see that it really is that Sun Belt region of the United States, traditionally a lower cost housing market area, you know, spanning all the way from basically North Carolina, you know, in the Mid-Atlantic South and all the way over, stopping before California. You know, that seems to be where people are moving to, and
yeah.
sort of the migration is coming out of the more expensive northeastern and west coast cities, and of course some of the industrial Midwest is still
mm-hmm.
declining. So that trend seems to have accelerated as people have the ability to work from home, or think they're going to have the ability to work from home for an extended period of time. So Yeah,
absolutely. That's an interesting metric to look at, because it really does tell a better story of what's happening. And it's analogous to, you know, FEMA and the effects of severe storms, what they call the Waffle House Index, where,
yes,
if the Waffle Houses are up and running, then, you know, you know, that things are recovering, or right. that, you know, the damage wasn't that bad. Now we can look at where people are going, picking up, dropping off their U-Hauls. And you're absolutely right. I mean, number one state, you know, ranked by migration growth, you've got Tennessee number one. Texas is number two, which is interesting, right? Because I would think that Texas would be number one, given everybody moving to Austin, apparently.
Well, I guess everybody wants to live in, people like their live music. Maybe Nashville yeah. is.
Maybe that's the big one.
Maybe that's the new hot location.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, you look at, you know, Tennessee, Texas, Florida, Ohio, Arizona, Colorado, Missouri, Nevada, North Carolina, and then Georgia.
Yep, that's our top 10.
Yeah. Which is very interesting, because so many people, I travel a lot in South Carolina, and you see a lot of Ohio plates down in South Carolina. So I'm kind of surprised that they didn't make the list. Right. But North Carolina's got a big tech sector. I mean, they've got a lot of investment going on, so I'm not surprised. I mean, that's, you know, high-quality jobs moving to North Carolina, a lot of opportunity there. Same could be said for areas in Georgia, Arizona, of course, and Colorado. So a lot of it makes sense. You know, it does make sense that the people would be moving there. So what is, I guess, let me ask you a real quick question related to inflation, because everybody, you know, the funny thing is, I was looking at Twitter, and of course the gas shortage hit, and everybody was looking at that, and, you know, and somebody tweeted, made a joke of saying, what's next, disco? You know, because it's like gas shortage, inflation, and now, you know, what's next? Is the 1970s all over again?
Well, I mean, if you listen to gossip, it's actually the 1990s. But
the 1990s.
But I think inflation is really about overheating, right? So
yeah.
And our most of us have not experienced inflation as grown-ups. You know, maybe most of us were pretty young during the last time we had an inflation issue back in the 70s. I think the most recent economic data that we've seen regarding employment and retail spending shows us that we're probably not going to have a real overheating. You know, there will be overheating because everybody's trying to spend, you know, we're in a consumer economy and everybody's going out and trying to spend money at the same time. But ultimately, I think most forecasters and folks feel like, yeah, we'll be above 2%, which is that target rate. We're going to see some inflation, but it's not something that we should be super concerned about. However, when it comes to things like lumber prices, you know, and that is something that is a concern of our members.
Yeah.
And really what, you know, we are responsible for doing, for helping to guide for our clients' construction cost estimates. And so when we enter these kinds of turbulent economic times is when sometimes our estimates come in too low or too high. It was the reverse, you know, during the recession back in 2008 and 2009, a lot of the estimates came in surprisingly, you know, maybe not surprisingly, a little low. So, you know, we work with our contractor friends to do that on our projects often. And we feel for our clients who are under the gun, especially the home builders, especially those that are using lumber and to an extent steel. It's not something we obviously have a lot of control over. And, you know, designing and building major projects takes months and years. So it's a wave that we need to ride, and we need to be cognizant that it makes our clients even more conscious of costs. And that's where we kind of feel it. And that also was a hot topic of our roundtables this past convention.
So, Aaron, I notice also in your presentation, you also have some alternative data of economic indicators. What do you have here? I see one on mobility trends, and you have some countries listed, the U.S., Italy, United Kingdom, and Germany. What's that about?
Well, it's very, very interesting. So this is the first major recession where we have had, almost all of us have smartphones worldwide. And so basically sensors, how we request directions, how we use maps, everything is being used to sort of track us and track where we go and sort of track how we're re-entering the economy. So a lot of economists are using either Apple or Google mobility trends, which are public and are up on the Apple and Google Map websites, to see which economies are coming back. And recently in a presentation that I did for ACEC Pennsylvania, I showed them how, you know, the U.S. were sort of rebounding at this point better than some of our European counterparts who are still struggling to get vaccinated. And then I also showed them, you know, sort of focusing in a little bit how the Philadelphia region is doing according to the Apple mobility trends. So what's really interesting when you go down to a U.S. metro city level is to see, you know, compared to sort of pre-pandemic times, are people walking more? Are they driving more? Are they riding transit more? They are not. So, you know, when you plug in different cities, you can see how it's changed over the last, you know, year and a half. And I think this will be very telling as we try to measure whether or not office workers and sort of us 9-to-5ers, if we're going back to work, especially in central cities. And right now the answer is no. You know, and when you just drop in different cities, people are not yet taking transit. They're driving a lot more. They're walking a lot more in some cities where they're walkable, which is interesting.
And then you also have the airline data.
Yes.
The travelers are ready to take off is kind of the title of the slide. We'll try to put the slide deck into the show notes for the presentation here so you can kind of follow along with the conversation. But it seems like we're seeing a spike after a big dip at the beginning of the pandemic, of course. So what are you seeing there?
So that is another sort of what they call high frequency or alternative data point that that economists are looking at. So, you know, every time people, you know, you used to have to wait for airlines to report it out. Now TSA measures it. So every time people go through TSA checkpoints, you know, they report that up every single day. So we are sort of swinging back up, you know, which is important for us to understand, not only for consumer travel, but business travel. Another index that I showed our folks earlier this week is the Open Table Index, which is really interesting. So, you know, are people dining out? Are people spending money? You know, we are in a consumer-based economy, so sort of going back to the more comfortable people are going out and doing what they used to do, the more money is circulating, the quicker we will get back. I think what a lot of analysts are thinking about when you think about the built environment is, have are these indexes going to show a change in our human behavior from before the pandemic? Like, will people not go back to work in central cities? Will we not visit certain restaurants, coffee houses? Will we not engage in business travel like before? And it's really interesting to think about how that human behavior is going to influence how we build our environment, what we design, and what gets funded. So, you know, will we be in a perpetual state of data centers, broadband, and, you know, industrial flex space getting most funding, or will we go back to, you know, a lot of growth in other areas? And I think that's still very much unknown, which is interesting.
Which makes looking at the data all the more interesting, honestly, because it just changes and you can kind of dive into it. And in this time where we find ourselves in kind of uncharted territories, fixing our, you know, coming back up from a situation where it was an artificial economic shutdown, and how the economy is going to recover from that and what decisions business leaders are going to make, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And that's why we got to stay on top of it. And I'm very happy to be able to go through these numbers with you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it really, not to say that what we predicted is happening, but when we did our analysis at the beginning of the pandemic recession at ACEC, we looked at and thought, okay, the private markets are going to fall first, and then they might be followed by public markets. And we were actually, we did not predict, nor did almost anyone, that huge housing boom, but that decline in public private markets has happened, and it's been declined. You know, when we got the March numbers earlier this month, it's consistent. It's about a 9% decline in private design and construction spending this whole time, 9 or 10%. However, what was a surprise to me when I saw these numbers this month is that we are now really seeing the public numbers start to decline. So, you know, going back to the beginning of the pandemic through January of this year, public design and construction spending was plodding along at a pretty good pace. You know, it had dropped from like that 5 to 6% level down to about a 3% level. But there was only 1 month within that time frame that it had declined. But now we saw a drop in both February and March of this year. Excuse me. And March was a drop of 4.6%. So, you know, knowing that that there was the infrastructure, not the infrastructure spending, but the stimulus package passed in March to help state and local governments, that may have actually been very well timed because, you know, we do want to see that number come back up. And so hopefully we will see that number come back up. You know, it is to be determined how state and local governments will spend that stimulus money they received in March. You know, they could use it for a number of things. They could use it for pensions, for operations and maintenance, for other things, or they could use it for capital projects. So I think, you know, I'm in the same mind frame as others in our industry. I hope some of it goes to design and construction so we can see that public number come back up. And then, of course, if we have, you know, reauthorization of the FAST Act and a stimulus package passed, you know, that will help that number even more.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then, you know, the conversations that are surrounding the infrastructure bill right now, that definition of infrastructure, I mean, we know that 40% of the Biden plan is targeted towards capital projects. A large percentage, 600 plus billion, is your transportation infrastructure. Of course, the Senate Republican alternative has 568 billion. That's mainly your bread and butter traditional infrastructure funded through reauthorization. The Biden plan is additive beyond reauthorization language. So, you know, you do the FAST Act, but Biden would, you know, spend additional. But then that, you know, our focus of course is infrastructure, traditional, and then also those other areas that the, you know, the definition is expanding. It's expanding to energy, it's expanding to broadband. These are all markets where our industry can take advantage of. These are all burgeoning markets, like you said, data centers and everything else that goes into it. That it's going to be very interesting next few weeks or months as this bill kind of works its way through the process.
Yes. I mean, it really will benefit both public markets and private markets. As you mentioned, broadband, which is very bipartisan. The pandemic has shown us that broadband is necessary. We highlighted it last fall in our special brief. Excuse me. And so, you know, we are very, we're very optimistic about that being included. And of course, our members design and build the entire built environment. So, you know, of course, transportation and water systems, but, you know, systems such as broadband and rail and others are important as well.
Well, we will make sure to keep on top of all the changes in the marketplace, and we'll do that with more private market updates. Great to have you back on. Looking forward to a very packed, we're going to have a great, I think, lineup of shows over the next couple of weeks. Aaron and I and the team have been talking about potential guests, and I think we have some great ones that we're going to be bringing on. So stay tuned, subscribe, like the channel, and stay tuned for the next private market update. And Aaron, thank you again very much for coming on the show. And I know you're going to be luckily heading out of town pre-Memorial Day. Enjoy it.
Thank you.
And we'll see you when you get back. And until then, this again has been the Private Markets Update from ACEC. We'll see you next time.